before we get too far into this, thank you to Racetech, racetech.com. Tell them you listen to Pulp to save. Get your suspension work done. Get motor work done. Get your suspension parts, springs, shims, all of that stuff, bushing, seals. You can do it yourself. You can get them to do it. It's authorized Racetech service centers all across America as well. And you tell them you listen to Pulp, you get a deal on that. Get your right suspension weight dialed in with oil and springs and all of that. Thanks to folks at Racetech, racetech.com. Privateer proven over the years. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motosport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. This is the Philadelphia Supercross review. I had to look and see what city it was. But, yes, thank you to folks at Fly Racing. Cooper Webb, wearing Fly Racing gear. Use the code PULPMX when you check out to save at Fly Racing Direct. Whether it's helmets, gloves, gear, anything. They got off-road stuff. They got really cool off-road stuff with pockets in it and full coverage stuff. Flyracing.com. And, yeah, check them out, man. The Formula helmet's amazing. It's super safe, super quiet, lightweight, all of it. It's got the Rion technology in it, which is next level. They got some mountain bike stuff coming out, too, as well. So thanks to the folks at Fly Racing for coming on board the podcast. Code PULPMX direct on the Fly website to save with those guys. Thank you to them. Renthal, a big display up Sea Otter, big bicycle trade show this past week, and they showed their lock-on grips for mountain bikes, stems, carbon bars, aluminum bars, all of that stuff for mountain biking. It's available at power sports dealers nationwide. They got chains, sprockets, of course, handlebars, right? That's what they're known for. Their lock-on grip is crushing it in sales-wise. No modifications needed. It'll bolt to any bar out there. Renthal.com for more information on that. Really informative website. So thank you to Renthal for coming on board the podcast. You know their name. You know the brand. You know all of that. Thank you to Renthal. Maxxis Tires as well. Kay Clayson making his return to racing with Maxxis Tires. Hunter Yoder putting his Maxxis Tires in the main event, as well as Freddie Norn, developed by McGrath. A gift from the Moto Science Nerds to you. And the soft intermediate, intermediate to hard terrain tires. They got a paddle tire as well. And you know Maxxis is great at mountain bikes, right? We know that. So thanks to the folks at Maxxis for coming on board the show. Motorsport.com will tell you more about later on. But, yeah, great company as well for those guys. But here's Weege, JT, and myself discussing Philly Supercross and more. All right, everybody, let's dive into the race in Philadelphia. It's a good one to talk about for sure here on the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. And with me, the man was not at the race this weekend, but he was tuning in. The voice of GNCC, voice of quad racing, the voice of Geneva Supercross. If you're paying, he's saying. He also does some supercrosses and motocrosses also. The Jason, what's up, Weege?
Yeah, and to that end, I am scheduled to be at the next race in New Jersey. Not sure at all in what capacity. Who knows? Maybe I'll just get paid to hang out. Maybe I'll just sit in the press box. I have a flight, and I have a hotel.
Do we have,
we'll see about the rest.
Do we have a desk set up? Like, do we have a, you know, pre-show?
Or not one of those.
Okay.
We have the entire regular crew, including JT and Will, on the ground, so they don't really need me there. Maybe I'll just be a third reporter. We'll see. But I want to go to a race, and I said, you can't not go to the race in New Jersey. That's where I'm from. So they're like, all right, we'll get you there, and we'll figure something out.
Yeah, exactly. You got to go there. It's the home of Barry. Got to do it.
Home of Barry, yes.
I mentioned Fly Racing off the top. Use the code PULPMX to save from Fly Racing, home of the current 450 Supercross points leader as well. Jason Thomas, what's up, JT?
Not too much. It was great to see you, Steve, this weekend. Back to the races. Triumphant return that you made. But yeah, we missed Weege, and I just feel like our trio here, some part-time stuff going on. So
okay.
We'll be in full force in New Jersey. I'm happy to see you guys all participating.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Appreciate that. Well, listen, man, we can't all just, you know, go to all the races then go to GPs on the off weekends. We just can't all
why
do
not?
That.
Why?
Well, we could. Well, we could.
Yeah, we could. We're just not, you know, savages like that, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Just maybe I'll mark it, I think it's going to be your 2036 or something like that. I'll be in that position. So put in a good word with Dan over there, JT. Tell him I'm coming. Just give me about 12 more years or something.
I'll give him a heads up.
We got, listen, we had Stu back. That was awesome. And also, we have a fantastic program. Like, it's not great for hangout time. It's not great for going around to the teams and all of that and scooping things and getting food. It's not great for that, but holy crap. Everything else, we lost one practice session because of the weather, and then we were able to get to the stadium late, and then it was a day race, and it was over by, like, I don't know, 6:30, 7. Fantastic program. Just fantastic.
Oh, it's amazing. I actually felt like a human being this morning when I was going. I mean, it's still early.
Yeah.
But I did not feel like I had gotten run over by dirt works as they were taking dirt out of the stadium.
It was really cold after the race. And I was thinking, JT.
Oh, the whole race, bro. You were in the press box.
Yeah.
I could not feel my hands or feet at the end of the race.
Yeah. Was it colder than Foxborough?
Oh, yes. Significantly.
Oh, okay. Because everyone was saying Foxborough was so cold. And I'm like, colder than this? Because, dude, yeah, my hands were frozen. Right.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the wind. I was colder. And you know what's weird? I was talking to Will about this because I thought it was just me. Like, I got to the point where I was having a hard time, like, talking, and, well, there's a joke in here somewhere about having, you know, coherent thought anyway in any, you know, weather, but I was, like, having a hard time, like, really trying to add to the show and speak well, and I think I was just really cold, and Will said it first, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I thought I was the only one. Like, I was really struggling, so,
yeah,
for those that weren't there, there were tough conditions on Saturday.
My hands, doing the post-race interviews and holding my recorder, my hand was shaking. It was so cold.
Yeah, man. I was out there for like four hours straight with no break. Like, no, don't feel sorry for me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it was a tough afternoon.
I got out of the stadium by about 8:30, and I was wondering, JT, how soon were you back at your hotel after the checkers flew?
I went by and saw Dan because I just didn't. It was his daughter's 13th birthday today, and we were making a little video. So I went by and saw him, but it was on my way out of the stadium.
Yeah.
I was at the hotel at 7:04.
Okay, nice. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. So program was great. Yeah, and like you said, I didn't nap today. I flew across the country. Didn't really sleep. And like, I feel like a human, I guess, is what like you said. So let's keep that schedule up, Feld. Let's do that.
Not mad at it. I will be willing to sacrifice the, the atmosphere that I love. Man, because we're going to lose it anyway with daylight savings, and we start to go west, like it goes away anyway. But that was a really nice, and we're going to get it again this weekend. I really enjoy the being done early.
Yeah, it was all right. All right, lots to get into when it comes to this race for sure, Chase. Chase's margin of error was just—it was pretty much zero, and he has to start racking up points on Coop. But did anybody in this call start thinking about how this thing was going to play out? Where Coop was following through the pack, he got around Kenny good, he got around Savachi. You know, he basically was following Checkson through the pack, and then you're like, "Oh, here we go, little ruddy, little tough track." Coop's going to strike a couple laps to go, a la Detroit or a la just blah, blah, blah. Weege, did you think that?
Well, I wasn't sure, but it was certainly in play. I mean, we've seen it happen. Literally, Seattle played out
right. That
exact way. I mean, Sexton at one point you thought had it won, right? He got the lead up to almost 3 seconds in Seattle. But I did have in the back of my mind how much risk Coop is going to take at this point with a 15-point lead. This is not... Not saying that if Sexton wins the final five and the other guy gets second,
here we go.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying Coop is so smart. He might say the way this track feels, or this gap, or something. I was wondering if it was in his mind at all, but his podium interview made it pretty clear that it was not, and his only goal was to win the race.
Yeah, that thought was very, very far away from reality on the podium. That's for sure.
Yeah, that was awesome. Steve, did you hear it? Oh, it's great.
Yep. Just to give you an idea of how this goes for people, and Weege, I know you know this. You've done this more than me, but there's always downtime. We're waiting a lot, right? Like not a forever amount of time, but a decent amount of time. You're waiting for commercials. You're waiting for other people to do their interview. It's just kind of a waiting time. And for Coop, like, I have a decent relationship with him now, of course, the fly racing side. So I'm kind of BSing with him a little bit, but, like, literally anything I would say, he would just start cussing in the middle of it. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, all right, I'm just going to shut up. Because I was talking about, like, the inside line he kept going to in the corner by the start. And everything I would say, like, he when Chase got Kenny, like, he put in a couple great laps and gapped him, and he knew that, like, I knew that, and he knew that, and so as soon as I, like, started standing, he would just start cussing about it, and that just is such a tell as to where he's at. He doesn't even care what I'm saying, he knows what I'm saying, and he agrees that he just starts cussing, right, as soon as I mention it.
I thought he was gonna get closer, maybe not win, but I, you know, and us journalists in the press box also thought that too, like, this is just prime Coop right here. You know, obviously with the first turn and everything else, they kind of all pushed out and, you know, just kind of followed him, never could kind of get close. But was he pissed about the line and mechanics area?
Yeah, he was really mad at himself.
Okay. For going inside?
Yeah, he's just like, why? He was just frustrated that he never switched. He's like, I knew the line sucked. I was like, and you've heard me talk about this, like, tunnel vision thing that I think a lot of people got. I've gotten it. I think that got him, where he's just like, you know, the line sucks, and you just muscle memory, you go to the inside off that single. And I think he was really frustrated with himself that he didn't switch, because he knew that it wasn't the right line, and he kept making mistakes there.
Okay.
JT, it's so funny to hear that story from the podium. You actually have done that more than me. I haven't interviewed the guys right after the race nearly as much, and it's been a long time. But what I did have to do it last week in Foxborough, and I have almost the exact same story with Coop. And I was like, dude, how did you pull that last lap off? And he's laughing, and he's like, dude, that was just luck and doing the jumps. And then we laughed about just jump the jumps. And I'm like, oh, you J-boned it. He's like, yeah, man, I J-boned it. And he's laughing, and everything's good. And I was like, I didn't think you were even close. Like, we were watching you go through that long rhythm, and you were going like 3 miles an hour. And then his complete mood completely flipped, and it went to anger face and cursing and so mad at himself for being so bad in that section. And then that just, same thing. The conversation was now over, and he was super pissed. And it's like the same thing. He's so both, I don't think he's being a jerk. I think he's just very self-critical.
No, he's not mad at me.
And he's mad at himself.
Yeah. There's so much emotion tied to those moments. Like, and we've seen it with Sexton. You know, like, Sexton, think about his worst moments. You see the emotion. Like, it's impossible to hide it. And I didn't have the pressure, and I had emotion like this, and I didn't have, what, nobody cared that I got, if I got 12th or 18th, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter, but the emotion was the same. It's impossible to hide that. And then you get them in the press conference or even on the podium, give them 2 minutes and they're fine. But that immediate reaction is impossible to do anything with.
Yeah, Sexton said in the race he was hoping that Kenny would be able to fight off Coop a little more, you know, than what he did. And he also mentioned to me that he knew Kenny hasn't been riding. He said Kenny came by his house this week and hung out, so he kind of knows the extent of Kenny's ankle and shoulders. And so I was wondering, like, I asked him, like, is that part of your game where you're like, You know this dude hasn't been riding. You know you're faster than him anyways, and then you know the dude hasn't been riding. So is that part of your strategy? And I think he was just like, no, not really. I'm just faster than Ken Roczen anyways. But he was hoping Kenny would fight a little more. But like it's literally the thing that you've talked about a few times. As we get near the end of the series, the contenders rise up, and that's what we're seeing. You know,
I mean, usually we were not seeing that happen. recently, but I guess if you think about it, it was still too far out. I mean, yes, Plessinger won, and Malcolm had a great race, and other guys have shown the potential to get in there. But I guess it's really that happens with, what, the last two, three races?
Yeah.
So it's definitely headed that direction. The only time it'll flip is if one of the guys had a big enough lead where he doesn't need to win, you could see them taking a fourth at the finale.
Yeah.
But, yeah, right now we're in that sweet spot where it's they've got everything in the line.
I mean, they were both pretty far back, you know, and just slowly.
No, they were way back.
They had no sort, like, track was kind of treacherous. It wasn't Foxborough, but it was kind of treacherous, and they just were better than everybody. They're locked in their battle, and they're just hitting their marks, and they're, you know, the speed they're moving by some of these guys is, pretty impressive.
This happens a lot. You know, it's weird how if this was, and you could say it's the field, right? Because we're missing Jett, we're missing Hunter, we're missing Tomac, we're missing Anderson, we're missing a lot of guys. That's a fair comment to make. But it's the same thing that's gone on for a really long time. We talked about it on the show. The later in the season it gets, the more these guys separate themselves. They're able to just slice through that. Like, imagine if that was like A2 or something. There's no way they would have done that. Like, they're just eviscerating people along the way. Like, just get out of my way. Like, you have no business being in the same lane of this racetrack as I do. You know what I mean? Like, that changes. Like, it gets more and more and more and more the closer we get to the championship. And I don't know if it's just, like you said, Steve, like, they're locked in. They're so much more focused. I don't know. But it's been that way for a long time. And the guys really start to create their own dynamic where it's just those guys, like, and they're just gone.
Hey, the track turned out pretty good. Obviously, like, they and I didn't realize this, or maybe I knew it and I forgot it, but we used to have standing water on a covered track, and then they would uncover it, and it would still get everywhere. The water would get everywhere. And they're pumping the water off of the tarp now, which I don't know if I heard about that or I forgot about it, but, yeah, good idea, because we used to just pull the tarp, and then it would be a disaster. So everything turned out pretty well. So
yeah, they've been pumping water, and then I watched them. I got there way too early on Saturday morning, and they've been they'll pump the water, they'll pull the tarps, and then they'll push all the standing water off with the skiddies, like skid steers. There's less dirt, I think, to work with, but sometimes they'll drag the dirt back after they push the water off. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever their techniques are, they're getting better and better at this.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, the track was pretty good. There's some dust out there even a little bit at times. I thought it was a really good track, and good job for the Dirtworks guys. I wanted to say that. I forgot to say that off the top.
They deserve that, no doubt.
I hammer them every now and then, and, when they do good things like this.
Yeah, it's got to go both ways.
Good job on that. So Sexton gets 3 points. It's down to 12. 4 races to go. Yeah, Weege, just do the math. Just do the math, Weege.
Yeah. That's how it's going to go. Nothing crazy is going to happen at all. But I do think – I do feel bad, because somehow Sexton, even when he wins, he gets criticized, and certainly when he loses, he gets criticized. JT, we are really going back to that math you did earlier in the year, the points he gave away. We are really, really – accentuating how badly he wishes he had those points back now, just as we thought would probably turn out.
Yeah, of course, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
What did we say? It was 9, 11? What was it?
How many he gave away?
Yeah, like swing, the swing.
Dude, I thought it was like 26 or something.
Yeah, it was like 30 or something. Yeah, it's an insane amount.
You're right. It was more, but I remember we were specifically talking about 2 races earlier this year that specifically just like, we're like, dude, he lost like 9 points in the last 2 races or something that were just easy points. I don't remember what it was, but
yeah.
I mean, well, it's Tampa and Arlington
and Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas, and then hitting the gate. I mean, he still got the 3rd in that one. But the point is, even then it was like, well, look, I mean, you're not even halfway through the season. Anything can happen. But it is shaking out where it's looking like, nope, it's going to come down to 10 to 15 points, and there they were right there. It looks like that could easily end up being the story all the way to the end.
Also, typical Sexton. I thought he was airing out that quad before the double really easy and really, you know, it wasn't that hard, but I noticed a lot of guys backing out of it. The transition wasn't very good, according to some guys. And I mentioned it to him, like, hey, man, yeah, you nailed that quad a lot. And, you know, a lot of guys, and he's like, well, what? It was like easy. And I'm like, well.
Oh, that's what, that was another thing, too.
Yeah.
That was another thing Coop mentioned on the podium that he was mad about, as he took too long to do that quad.
Yeah, but I was like, yeah, Chase, it really wasn't easy. But whenever I ask Chase about some sort of jump, not whenever, but most times when I ask him about some jump, he's just like, yeah, man, it's easy. And I'm just like, okay, cool.
It doesn't, yeah, he's really good.
It doesn't appear easy because I'm watching
really good.
I'm watching 21 other riders, you know, not really hit that or hit it half the time or back out of it or whatever. And then Chase, you just keep jumping it. So he doesn't want to give himself any credit. But
I think to what you're saying and to exacerbate his point, his skill level is probably the highest we have in the sport, you know, unless you want to throw Jet in there.
It
probably is easy for him. You know, like, it's the other things that have really held him back. It's the unforced errors and him getting in his own head and him worrying about the bike. And, you know, there's a lot of things that have held him back. But skill-wise, it's him and Jet. Like, and then everybody else besides those two.
I was talking to Larry Brooks after the race. I didn't see Kenny. I was talking to Brooks after the race. And Kenny qualified like 14th, and heat race was very good. And then Brooks is like, yeah, he's got 20 minutes in him, probably like lining up his pain shots or whatever. Also, Brooks is just like, he's just got 20 minutes. He's trying to figure that out. And I'm like, well, he's just a gamer. Yeah, it's just Kenny, right? He doesn't have anything for those top two guys. He probably won't the rest of the way, but I could see him getting on the box a whole bunch. He led a bunch of laps again, and he was 4 seconds ahead. I mean, obviously helped by that first turn start. Let's talk about that start a little bit. So it's basically all on McElrath, right?
Chase blamed himself for cutting over on AP too hard, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's chaos, mud. Whatever.
Yeah, I guess AP had some words with McElrath after the race about it. And then I said to Shane, I think you're going to be hearing about it. And he was like, oh, really? Oh, I don't know. Like, he just and I'm like, well, I got to watch the replay. At that point, I hadn't watched the replay. I have now. I'm like, it seemed like you know, everyone was breaking. You kind of dove it in deep. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. I just trying to get up front. And I'm like, well, okay, man. I think you're probably going to hear about it. Shane was not having it. He was not really, I don't know, Weege, if you listen to the post-race stuff, but he was not admitting any fault at all. So, I don't know. And then,
I was actually good to know, because when I first saw it, I think this is the angle they had on TV, I was like, why did AP not stop?
Right.
I'm like, he just didn't stop. But I didn't realize he was basically getting shoved. Now, I know what McElrath was saying to you. He's like, they just pinched off the inside, like, too much. Like, they left me nowhere to go. I'll just defer to the riders. If they're mad at McElrath, I guess it's on him.
Yeah, and then I hadn't talked to Chase yet when I talked to Shane. But then when I went and talked to Chase, he was like, oh, yeah, no, AP was mad. And I'm like, but the whole time when I was talking to Shane, I was like, he played it off because I guess I'm the media. But, like, at that point, he had been yelled at by AP. And then he totally played it off to me. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. Like, but.
Oh, for real?
Well, yeah. Because
he pretended he hadn't already had words with one of
the guys. Yeah, he never mentioned that any, he played. And I'm like, whatever, Shane's a good dude. I just thought it was hilarious that when I went over, it seemed like, Shane, you already got yelled at by Aaron. So, you know.
Yeah.
just typical racer stuff. But
yeah. I do agree it was on him. When I first watched it, I'm like, why did AP not stop? And then I saw the replay, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, JP down, or J Coop down, and Dylan was caught up in it, and just a whole thing.
I think Sexton didn't get knocked down, but I think that ruined his start too,
For sure, yeah. Yeah, AP.
Yeah.
Malcolm fourth, just rode his pretty steady race, kind of just stayed there, got fourth. Savachi fifth, and it's so funny, last week, didn't qualify, told me that was the first time that's happened to him. And, he just came back from injury. So, like, you look at the roller coaster of the sport, and he's hurt badly, misses races, comes back, doesn't qualify, and then immediately has his best race of the year. And, like, yes, he benefited from the chaos on the start, but, dude, he hung in there the whole time. He didn't drop back. Like, that fifth was really good by Joey, and had to be a huge weight off his shoulders, you know?
Yeah, he was frustrated with his early laps. I spoke to him in the post-race show, like, right after the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he was happy. It's funny. It's always perspective, you know. And I find it interesting. Everybody, like, I think us three are probably like, man, that was awesome. Like, you did incredibly well. Coming off an injury, coming off a horrible race, coming off lots of negatives, to be that good and hang in there. And he was more like, man, I wasn't very good at the beginning. You know, like, it was, so it's,
yeah,
but
that's Joey.
That was his predominant thought.
That's Joey for sure. Like, he does take a glass half empty. Like, I like him. He's a good dude. He's a really funny guy, but he is a glass half empty dude. Like, all the time. You talk to teams he's on, it's all of that, you know, he should be happy with that fifth. And I think he was, he was kind of saying the same thing to me. And I'm like, dude, you didn't qualify last week. Like, obviously it was a disaster mutter. That's why, but still. And again, he did confirm to me, which really makes my heart warm, because I wasn't at Foxborough and I tweeted, what are the odds that the AMA even told Savacci he didn't make it? Because he was scored his ninth, right? Malcolm lost his transponder.
Yep.
And he confirmed that no one told him. His dad had to call him and say the TV broadcast said that they think he's got to go to the LCQ. Yep. Never change. Never change AMA.
He's watching.
Yep. Never change AMA. Like,
that's unbelievable.
He scored
his
ninth.
You that the bars were bent and they weren't. Yep. They thought they had, you know, quite a while to fix the bike. And it's like, no, we have to go to the gate, like, now.
Yeah. Like, he scored ninth and no official is like, hey, maybe tell Marty Davalos. Maybe someone should call him. Hey, go tell. No. Yeah. Sorry, man.
In the old days,
mm-hmm.
You would need someone to go to the board and look at the posted result.
Yeah.
I know we're not in 1992 anymore.
Yeah.
But that's how it would have gone back in the day.
Do you remember going to that board in the fucking Nationals, like Saturday morning qualifiers, you know?
Yep.
Like, you would go to the board.
You'd see which qualifier you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, all of that. And then go watch, look at the results and everything, yeah. Those are the days, Weege. We had to go to the board. We had to go to the paper.
Well, I remember doing it at local races, so I guess it works for one, works for the other.
The Duke was there, Cindy, the whole crew, AMA Jeff, looking at the board. So good job for Savacci. Cooper came all the way back to sixth, and that was a really interesting battle because Oldenburg was up there, Bloss was up there, and then Cooper, Ferrandis, and AP were charging through the pack, and Hill was in the mix. It was a huge battle going on. And at one point, Oldenburg, it was like someone hit the nitro button on the Ivan Stewart video game. Oldenburg went like past three or four guys and was like in sixth or seventh and just cruising and looked great. And then I looked back, and his nitro had gone, run out, no more nitro, and now he was back in 12th. And Benny was ahead of him. And then Cooper, Ferrandis, and AP were just sort of like eating those guys up a little bit. But it was a really, really weird race where you were like, look at Oldenburg. Oh, my God, he's good. And then you were like, look at Benny. Oh, look at Benny. He's on the move. So it was really funny to see those two guys yo-yo like that. And they both admitted after the race, that's exactly what happened. Oldenburg said he had arm pump, and he's never gotten arm pump. He doesn't know what to do when he gets arm pump. And I'm like, you've never gotten arm pump?
He's never gotten arm pump.
That's what he said. I'm like,
wow.
I said, wow, yeah. And then Millsaps got in the mix, and he started Millsaps, like, he's very traumatized by me saying he was out of shape when he raced, because he brings it up all the time, and I'm interviewing Benny.
I mean, he was, though.
I know. And I said, you know I'm right. And he was like, you weren't right about Honda. I was out of shape at JGR. And I'm like, oh, my God, Davey. Okay, all right, cool, man.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
He's admitted it in, like, every forum possible that he basically just didn't work hard enough until 2013.
I know.
Like,
I know.
All the teams, all the bikes, until that great 450 Suzuki year.
But
what?
But I think he was, like, you know, Davey's parsing the argument down into, like, the things that I said. And I'm just like, dude, let me talk to Benny and Mitchell. All right, Davey? He really got into it. It was really funny. But Dylan rode well, and I want to say he qualified well again. Conditions are kind of good for him right now. And I was thinking in the heat race when Dylan was catching Dean, I made it in the press box, but give me that bike. Give me that bike. Because Dylan was kind of mad about not getting that fill in. But yeah, he was better than Dean, obviously. So Cooper 6th, Dylan 7th, AP 8th, all down in the first turn or jacked up in the first turn. And so those guys rode pretty good. And Benny got 9th. Benny's been really good. He re-signed with Beta. Beta Benny is back, so
I'm happy for him because he told me a few weeks ago that he was worried. Did I give this theory on this show?
Yeah, you did. It's insane. It's insane.
Yeah, he was worried that as he did better, it was actually going to make it harder to get a deal because other riders would start going to Beta and asking for a deal, and he was actually screwing himself by finishing eighth all the time.
This is a terrible theory.
An incredible theory. It's an incredible theory. Terrible.
We had him on the show a month ago. He was horrific interview. Horrific. And I said, and then everyone in our group chat said he was horrific. He admitted he was horrific. And he's like, I didn't want to say the wrong thing because I'm trying to get re-signed. Yeah, Benny, I'm not really asking you to, like, these aren't really, like, you know, probing questions where you're going to get in trouble. I just,
yeah. Send us the mapping. We want screenshots from your laptop.
Yeah, you know, it's just, yeah. So anyways, good job for Cooper, Ferrandis, and AP from coming from the back. Benny got ninth, and Benny said it took too long to jump that three after the whoops, which was pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it took him too long to do that. It was funny, though. The guys like Jerry Robin and Benny and these guys in the group chat that I'm in that jumped it said it was actually pretty easy, but it was just intimidating.
Didn't look that hard.
No.
You just had to get the three before it.
Well, they said you had to slow down in the whoops. You had to go a little
slow. You had to slow down to catch the three.
Right. And then
sit into it.
Right. And we'll talk about the whoops in a second because they're huge in the 250 class. Justin Hill, 10th. Oldenburg, 11th. Godarm Pump. Said he rode outdoors this week, too. So that kind of hurt him. Shane got up.
You know what's crazy is, do you hear Webb say that they flooded their track and rode mud all week?
I did hear that, yeah.
That's pretty wild.
That sounds like something Star would do for sure, right? Yep. I some great Bobby Reagan stories from the press box. Max Anstey was up there. We got some great stories. McElrath, 12th. Nichols, 13th. Barsha was not happy after the race. You guys saw what happened. He really felt
to him also.
Oh, yeah. He really felt like he could get on the podium. But he's had this rear brake problem. He said it comes and goes. And his rear brake went away. In the main event, he flew over that berm, and then he crashed on Thursday and smashed his finger between the lever and the grip, and it looks disgusting. It was all bleeding and puffy and disgusting. So he's riding with front brake only, and the finger is jacked up as well, and he is not having a good time right now. And between last week and this week, Justin Barsha is straight up not having a good time. So he was not stoked after the race, not happy. Good interview and everything, but yeah, got a feel for the guy.
Yep, and looking for a deal. He was pretty honest about it.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
looking for a deal.
Yep.
Yeah,
I don't see him going back there. I don't know anything. But can't you just see the KTM group cutting back in some way, shape, or form, right? And then we've talked about the Kunins before on this show. I talked to somebody who said that. All indications are they're staying there. So they're not coming. RJ's going to go 450. Malcolm apparently hasn't talked to anybody. Justin hasn't talked to anybody. I don't know Cochran and Ryder D status, contract-wise. But
injured.
Yeah, but it doesn't – I don't know. I just don't – do you guys see them coming back with the same amount of riders? I don't.
And I feel like they've not been able to confirm or deny. We've heard a lot of, we're good, we're going to be good, we're going to be fine. But I think it's always in, like, the context of Chase Sexton will be paid. Everyone's going to get paid this year. We want Chase Sexton back. We can offer him a big deal, all these things. But when you go to those, I don't want to say lower level, I don't want to say that they hold Husky and the Gas teams in a lower regard.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's murkier when you ask about that stuff, like, will they be back with the same teams and will Gas and Husky both race? I feel like we're not getting clear answers.
No.
Just by KTM riders.
Yeah.
It's very clear.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
So that to me says something.
Somebody said that Husqvarna was going to be off-road only, and then so everyone's going to go to Gas on the motocross side. I don't know. There's a lot of
It felt like this year was a, hey, we have a lot of contracts we have to honor,
mm-hmm.
so how can we make this work? And next year it's going to be like, okay, all those contracts roll off, and we're going to get the real look.
Yeah.
For 26.
But you got to think they have a Husqvarna or Gas 450 guy, right?
I don't know.
No?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't either.
But the question is,
I understand your point.
Or
I
one no or the other.
Yeah, I just see one. I don't see them coming back with everybody. Like, and I don't know the 250 guy's contract status. But RJ has a deal. So
RJ has a deal. Yeah.
So
RJ is fine.
You know. I don't know. I don't know, man. We'll see. I just feel like Barcia and Malcolm is a chance they're both looking for a ride. I mean, Ducati and Barcia, it's a natural fit. Troy Lee, you know, high revving machine. Maybe do some GPs, right? Barcia always has wanted to do that. So,
I mean, does it feel to you like gas is a big priority for the Austria group right now? For me, that would be a hard no.
Yeah. No.
Right.
So. I agree. So Barcia 14th and pissed after the race and lost his rear brake and not happy. Christian Craig is also straight up not having a good time. I haven't talked to him after the race, but I don't think he's really sticking around right now. So I'm surprised he's this far off. I know he's missed most of the year.
The tracks haven't been in his favor.
No.
I will say that. But even at Birmingham,
right,
he should have, like, that would have been an opportunity for him to show us something.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not getting it. I don't know why or what, yeah, or him or what's going on, but yeah, it's not there.
No. Oh, I wonder, and like, yeah, I just wonder how he'll do outdoors. Or he's putting some great rides for the outdoors, so maybe he can hang his hat on that. Mitchell Harrison was third for a while. Good job, Mitchell Harrison. That was good.
He was in third? Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was in third. Yeah, early in the race.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, who's the Cowie?
Yeah.
Anderson's gone. Prado's gone. Who's the Cowie? And I'm like, oh,
Mitchell Harrison. Yeah,
Mitchell
Harrison. Check it out. Dean Wilson. He's back. Grandpa Earl in opening ceremonies. What'd you guys think about that?
Yeah, it was cool. It was great. Yeah, I love it. I mean, I wish he had Fly Racing on for opening ceremonies, but
right,
selfishly, outside of that, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Appears to be more members only. Seems to be the look.
He said his arms pumped.
Members only jacket that he rocks.
He said his arms pumped up so bad, which I can imagine.
Oh, he looked miserable.
Yeah.
At the end of the race.
Said he stalled it. Yeah. You know what?
He did. That corner by the podium, web corner we were talking about.
The one good thing about Dino, though, is like, obviously he's older, right, and he's near the end, but like, he is a professional guy to deal with. There's not a lot of excuses. He tells you how it went, good or bad, tells you problems he's got, or tells you how he felt good, or, you know, and he's got a positive. I don't know. I just, again, he's older. So.
Yeah, but like, what's he hiding at this point, right?
No,
like,
I know, but I mean for years, like for the last few, like the last years. Like, he's just, you go up to him and you're like, do you want to do an interview? And he's like, yep. And then he says exactly what happened, good or bad. And he'd just be like, and then he ends it with like, we'll get better. We'll try again. Like, you know, all this stuff. Like, I don't know. Just, yeah, I enjoy talking to Dean. That's all. I guess that's my speech.
Yeah, I think that's what you get when guys are, he knows this is the twilight of his career. You know, like, there's nothing to, you know, have to paint a picture for anybody or like save face. Like, he can just be himself. And I don't think you get that from most people until it's really late, because they don't, there's just no real risk anymore. You know, like the jig is up. Like, they, you know, they just don't care. They're going to tell you exactly what's going on.
Yeah. I think about when he was riding Rockstar Husky and it was his last outdoor at Paul and he could barely walk. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, oh man, my knees. And I'm just like, dude, you are Grandpa Earl. Like, at that point, he's like, yeah, I know. Chiz two laps down, Moran's Harlan. Good job for Harlan. I thought he rode pretty well.
Finally, man. Gosh, I was just waiting for, I was waiting for a grenade to, you know, the landmine to go off and grab him at LCQ.
So I had Freddie and Jerry in fantasy, and they are 9-10 in the heat. And we're debating in the press box, like, okay, one of these jerkies ain't making it. Who do you want in the LCQ? Like, who's got, you know, who's more likely to come through with a start and top four? And I think we just gave up. We didn't know which one was more likely to, which one should I be cheering for? But in the end, Jerry took the decision out of my hands by eating crap on that three after the whoops. And then terrible gate pick in the LCQ, and then no bueno. He rode well, but that was it. But very big discussion about Freddie and Jerry. And you know fantasy has taken over your life when you're discussing the pros and cons of Jerry and Freddie and who's more steady.
Oh.
Yeah. Just
reminds me of the A-Ray days.
Yeah. But in good news department, Freddie's team manager, Jericho, did meet that wrestler guy.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, which
nice.
He is a huge wrestling fan. I don't know that guy, who that guy is, and I asked Jericho, like, who is that guy? And then he proceeded to break down his lineage of wrestling.
Yeah, he's the Steiner brothers.
Yes, exactly. They're famous or something? The brothers?
Yeah, bro.
Okay.
I mean, he is a two-time WWE champ himself.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
What do you mean it doesn't mean anything?
Because they just stage who wins. Like, it doesn't
but
mean
like,
he's...
it's a big. He is a big deal in
yeah,
that world
yeah.
is all that means.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A, like, but... to say it doesn't mean anything. I know it's not real, Steve. I got it.
Right.
But, like,
he's two-time...
He's a huge deal.
Yeah, but somebody just pointed at him and said, you're the champ. And he went, okay. So
well, who cares? Like, that, they point to actors and say, hey, you get the part. And they're, yeah,
okay,
whatever.
All right, settle down. All right, I'm just saying.
No, man. No, I'm just saying, like, he's a... I'm not in that world either. Like, I
right.
have to go do my homework. But he's a pretty big deal, it seems.
I'm just saying, when you
just I'm disappointed he doesn't go with the real last name. I don't understand how your dad and uncle are legends, and you choose not to use their last name. That seems odd.
They don't even use their last name.
Well, yeah, it's really funny what their actual name is. It's like a butchered version of
it's
I don't
like
know, because I think they might actually have not been born in the United States. Anyway. Just somebody Google search Big Papa Pump, that's his uncle, and enjoy the photos, everybody.
Okay, all right.
It's just insane. I honestly feel like his character was I'm the guy on steroids, because he was just raging, and the look was just look up Big Papa Pump, that's his uncle.
Are you telling me that are you telling me that Hulk Hogan's real name wasn't Hulk Hogan? Is that what you're telling me right now? You change
his
name?
No, but I'm saying when your dad and uncle already have a fake name that's well known,
okay,
why do you not just take that
don't
name?
Even use
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. You don't even use that.
Yeah, why did he not use the family wrestling name?
I don't know, man, but I watched that movie with the Van Eichenbach or something. What was that called?
Excuse me?
Oh, the Von Erichs.
The Von Erichs, that's it. I watched that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. Is that
they
all
true?
They
were pioneers of the All Wrestlers Die. They were really pioneers in that field.
Is that all true? That whole story?
Yeah.
Oh,
just
crazy.
Just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. That's 450 class. Anybody else? We're going to cover anything else? Did I miss anything? Fly Racing, RacerX podcast?
The 250 is the real star as far as the action.
Who got for
to that?
Who got for title?
Cooper Webb. Cooper Webb.
Okay.
Weege?
Yeah, I'll stick. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll take 12 points, four races, and a guy who's done it quite a few times.
My original pick was
My
original pick was Jet Lawrence. Is he still in it?
Yeah, right. I will say, though, two things, and this is very much me to say this. One, I think Webb is still doing the status quo. Like, okay, he got me, now I just need to get it back to 15, you know, or 14 or something at Jersey, and then it's no harm, no foul. You know, I think he's happy to keep it there.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of that, I have been saying this, and Weege, you're my testament to this. I have been saying that these final rounds really favor Sexton. So the closer we get on points, the more likely I think it gets for Sexton to make it very interesting, because I really do think he has an edge in Denver and Salt Lake.
Yeah, the last two, right?
Yep.
So all right.
Take from that what you will.
Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing. Use code PULPMX when you check out to get the same gear that Chance Hymus, RJ Hampshire, Grandpa Earl, Cooper Webb wear, amongst others, flyracing.com. Head to toe, they've got you covered. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing, and use that code directly when you check out. Renthal and Maxis, I told you about off the top. But also thanks to the folks at motorsport.com. Kickstart your riding season. Weege, I don't know when your riding season starts, but kickstart it with motorsport.com.
Might start on Tuesday.
Oh,
start.
Oh, you going to club?
Yeah, two of my friends, one first name is Justin, the other one's last name is Phil. I don't want to reveal who they are,
mm-hmm.
but they're going riding on Tuesday. They said I should come down, so who knows?
All right, well, they got a knowledgeable team of gearheads there. The first returns are free on apparel in case something doesn't fit. Free shipping on all orders over $79. Go through the banner on pulpamex.com to help us out. They got sweepstakes going on right now. You can win a Stark Varg. I think that it's almost over. But you can win a Stark Varg for the grand prize. So motorsport.com, the number one online retailer for everything in the world, motorsport.com. And Weege as well, OnX Maps.
OnX Maps has 500,000, that's right, 500,000, yeah, that'd be that, trails mapped out. They're constantly innovating and elevating and improving the app. So go to OnX Off-Road in the App Store, and you can take it for a test drive 7 days. They even have classes that you can watch about trail maintenance and how trails come to be, and you can leave notes for other people. a lot better than Google Maps. So OnX Off-Road in the App Store or onxmaps.com, and you can find places to ride. What's better than that?
All right, 250s. Wow. Wow. That was impressive. Cole Davies, second win in a row, passing Hayden Deegan, passing RJ Hampshire, passing Seth Hammaker. I guess first, is Daxton Bennick okay? Have we heard? That was pretty scary. He was out cold for sure. Do we know?
Yeah, a concussion, which has got to be extra bad because he did have one, after Tampa?
Yep.
A really bad concussion. One, too.
Yeah, no surgery because he did have a fracture to his T6, no surgery. I think he's getting out of the hospital, but double concussion doesn't sound good to me.
No. That restart. No,
that first one was very, very bad. Like long, far too long. It's not good. Like that's not a good recurring thing.
Nope.
Yeah, hopefully best for him. And that restart, RJ, obviously, wow. Fell in the first turn. Way far back, and then the second one, he nails the start. Unbelievable on the restart. That if RJ ends up winning this thing, which he's got the red plate now, that'll be the story for RJ for the season. So that's really cool. It was a great race to watch the East guys, Hampshire, Hammaker, Vial, for a long time go at it and wonder what was going on in their points. But the star was Cole Davies. I mean, he passed all these dudes and took off with the win, and his whoop speed was incredible. We saw that in Seattle. And holy shit, the showdown. What a ride. I mean, Seattle was kind of, we're waiting for Seattle. We'd seen him win the Triple Crowns. We'd seen that speed he had. But almost Seattle to me was like, okay, conditions. You know, kid was really good in those conditions, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he's still really – I'm not trying to take away from the Seattle win because it was awesome. But this one really cemented it to me. On a shootout and passing those guys, wow.
Yeah, I think when you're riding as well as he has, and he's just – next level talent. I think there's no doubt about that. He just kind of felt like inevitably he'll win one this year. So even though he's a rookie and it was only his sixth race, winning one, what we had seen since honestly Press Day Anaheim won, he was riding so awesome. It was like, yeah, he's trending in this direction. He'll get one. But I do feel like now that he's won two straight and in a showdown and passing the people to do it, it's like he's gone to yet another stratosphere. And I honestly, after the races, I'm like, was Jet Lawrence this good at Supercross? Now, we don't know what Davey's going to bring outdoors at all, so keep that in mind. I mean, Jet was really good outdoors. He does have a perfect season on a 450, but I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not even sure Jet was this good this early, which is like, now you're getting into an insane category, but I don't know if you can overhype how good he is. I don't think it's even possible. I'm like, this goes from, he's not even a prospect. Like, he could be good down the road. He might already be the best 250 Supercross rider there is. That's insane.
I mean, 2026, you know, we're talking about him as a title favorite, no matter what coast he's on.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you just, you know, he's 17. He's going to get
like
better.
What?
Yeah. JT, phenomenal ride. Phenomenal.
Yeah, it's it's amazing. I don't know that I've seen someone improve this much this fast. I don't know. I'm really struggling to find someone with this quick of a improvement trajectory. I know that's a strong statement. I'm trying to make it a strong statement, but I think it's warranted.
I mean, Deeks was charging at the end, but yeah.
It can be its own statement, right? It doesn't have to include or exclude anyone else. It's his own world, right? Like it's more based on where he was a year ago. That's the thing for me. Like if he was, you know, crushing everybody by 20 seconds in SMX Next and all the, like, yeah, but yeah, we kind of saw this coming, but I certainly didn't see this coming. I'll be the first one to tell you. I was very far from seeing this coming.
Yeah. Great ride. Wow. That's awesome.
Some of the stuff he's doing on the bike is just so next level. The whoop speed obviously is probably the trademark right now, which came to be in Indy with those ruts when he was still skimming, but I don't even know, like just kind of the way
the rhythm
jumps
too, like
he's unreal.
He's precise. He's like Jet. He really puts the bike exactly where it needs to be. Downsides things.
He's a surgeon.
So it will be interesting.
The downsiding.
You will be interested to watch him outdoors because it definitely was. He did win a moto at Loretta's. And he did win a combine, but, you know, outdoors he's a little weaker. But we've said this on this show before. If his improvement from indoors is where it is, and you got to think his improvement to outdoors. Is he a title favorite? No, but you got to think he's going to be a 4, 5, 6, 7 dude outdoors, and then next year figure it out. Like, I just – that's where he's at. You just – you can't be that far off indoors to out, you know? So, yeah, impressive.
Sky's the limit, man. Sky's the limit. I've been wildly wrong thus far with him, and I'm just going to stop being wrong and just say whatever he does from here is I'm open to.
Didn't they sign him to a 5-year deal? Wasn't it 5 years?
I don't know if it's 5 years. I do know that he got a really good deal, a Deegan level, amateur to pro level deal.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that was pretty lucrative.
Yep. Good job, Cole Davies. Yeah, good job for Star for all of that. Like JT said, the sky's the limit. Deegs second, rode pretty well, you know, moved up. Probably wasn't stoked that his younger teammate passed him and took the win, but he's got, you know, he lost a few points, but I mean, what is he up with 2 rounds to go? He's up 12? What is Deegs?
Deegan?
Yeah.
I think he's 17 on, is he 17 on,
Davies is second.
I don't know what he's up on Bomer.
No, Bomer is still second, I believe.
Yeah. No, Davies is second for sure.
Oh, yeah,
it's
sorry.
17.
Yep,
I
sorry.
Think.
Yeah, Davies is second. My bad. Somebody said Bomer was still second. But.
No, because they got a little kick out of Deegan did throw in the press conference. Now Cole's up to second in points, so he kicked that boy out of the top two.
He did say that, yeah.
Yeah, and also I saw Deeg said that he thought there was 5 more minutes left in the race or something. So, I mean, just, yeah, it's Deegs. RJ. Yeah, again, I think after the race, like, he's not happy because he got passed, right? But he was so happy with just the fact that he pulled off, you know, that podium finish. He said Hemecker caught him, got alongside him, and he was like, oh, no, because, you know, obviously that's where he's racing, right? So RJ, although a guy like him is never happy to get passed and get third on a showdown when he beat everybody else on the East, he's fine with it. And this thing is going to be great. This battle on the East is really interesting. RJ's up 1, I believe. And then up 3 on Vial, I think. So
no, they're still tied.
Can you imagine?
Who's tied?
Yeah, they're tied.
Now RJ and Hemecker are tied. It was Hemecker and Vial. Now RJ and Hemecker are tied. And Vial is, I think,
two back.
3 back.
Two back, sorry.
Or 2 back.
Yep, 2 back. So, yes, this thing's getting –
oh, gosh.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Fantastic.
Well, think about like the likelihood of chaos with Hemecker and RJ like pressing who's going to be willing to take more chances.
For sure.
I think RJ was actually happy in his own way because he basically said he was riding terrible. He wasn't good anywhere on the track. There were parts of the track where he was really bad, and he had nothing for Davies and Deegs. So considering all that, I think he was actually happy. Like, I felt horrible. I rode horrible. Mm-hmm. I actually got third, and I gained points.
And
I'll take it.
He said when it's cold like this, his wrist hurts big time. Because
He said in that first turn crash, he thought he broke it because I guess he had so much tape on it, he felt all this cracking. And he's like, I just broke my wrist again. So overall, I don't think he can walk away anything but pumped over how it all ended up turning out.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think
not re-hurt, not stuck in a first turn crash, got the restart.
And beat all the East guys, right? So
and beat all these guys. God, the race was awesome, though.
Yeah,
what a battle.
It was. It was great. I'm really surprised that Joe caught Tom. I don't know where Tom made a mistake. I didn't rewatch the 250s yet, so I don't know what happened. Like, did he just wear him down? Like, I was really surprised because Vial was right in the mix with RJ and Seth and right there, and then all of a sudden just Joe comes up and gets him. You know, that's, like, combined with last week, that's just a double whammy.
They kept yo-yoing, and what was happening was that 3 you were talking about, that with Benny.
Yeah.
Tom was doing it. He missed it a couple times, and Joe had it dialed. And then the next rhythm section, that 3, they would go 3 out of, like, 3,
they
3,
go
3
over.
Down
yeah,
that.
They go over.
Yeah, over, yeah. And then 3, 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
Tom missed it a couple times, and Joe nailed it, and that was it. Like, it was like any time those guys missed a rhythm section, the penalty was huge, and Tom missed it a couple times in the wrong spot, and Joe was there.
Tom was telling Lewis on press day that he doesn't know how he got 22nd. He has no idea. He thinks it was a mistake, and I mean, as I told Lewis, like, maybe, like, I could see it. He went from 4th to 22nd. Like, how does he not lap guys? There's only two laps to go.
Yeah. No one DNF?
Yeah, like, no one DNF. Exactly. Like, it does seem a little suspicious. But, I mean, KTM could have protested or looked into it more or synced up video or anything like that, right? It does seem weird, and Tom did not think he got 22nd. But
I kind of – yeah. I don't have any proof to back it up, but yeah. I kind of agree.
It seems weird. Yeah,
it seems weird. He says he went back in Lewis's interview. He says he goes back to the truck, and he's like, oh, man, that sucks. I got 12th. And they're like, 12th? You got 22nd. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't even fathom. He didn't even – JT, how many times have you came off the track and been 10 places off of where you actually – like, where you thought you finished and what you actually finished? Like,
I don't think there's 10 spots. I don't think it could be possible for me. Like, I don't even think the math works for me. Like, I couldn't have gotten in Supercross, like, oh, I thought I got 16th. I couldn't have gotten 26th, and I know I didn't get 6th because I probably got lapped by 6th.
But you generally have a ballpark idea of where you finished,
I'm kidding. Yes, 100. Like,
yes.
There's something fishy going on there. I don't know what or how,
It seems weird.
Very strange.
Two laps, he went from 4th to 22nd, and, like, in those four laps before, yeah, he didn't lap anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird to think that he didn't have anybody lapped. Also, somewhat related to this, how about Will Christian's awesome story about Webb? I know this is going back to the 450 class, where the crazy last lap last week came from, he actually realized he saw Plessinger behind him and said, well, I'm going to be the last guy not to get lapped.
Yeah.
So I have nothing to lose here. If I blow up on the last lap, who cares? I'm still going to get 7th. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, that was
awareness.
I'd actually heard that during the week that he said that he was, he was like, oh, wow, I got nothing.
And his bike literally did blow up.
Well, it didn't blow up.
Yeah,
I talked to his mechanic.
Right?
I talked to his mechanic. It didn't blow up, but it had zero water in it, zero. But yeah, I think that's the case for a lot of guys, right?
It's crazy.
But yeah, that's again, like, just some smart awareness, right? Just awareness of, like, where he's at, what's happening by Coop. So
that's insane. As for Vial, I've never heard of that happening, where he literally thought he got 12th. Ends up getting 22nd, and he has no idea how it's possible.
Marchbanks rode really well. Didn't get a start again, but rode really well in the heat. I thought he rode well in the main, charged forward in the main. Max Volin, 8th. Jordan Smith, 9th. Hymus, 10th. A little bit of a letdown for Hymus after last week. I mean, obviously it was.
He crashed, or it would have been much better.
Was he up there? I don't remember him being up there.
Yeah, he crashed in that, well, we're going to mention it for the third time, that corner by the podium. He crashed in that inside rut.
Oh, okay. Hold on, I'm going to look at
this. But he would have probably been 5th, 6th, something like that. Like, he was right there, and then that crash hurt him.
Yeah,
that was an insane
he order. He was running 7th. He was 7th for a while, and then, lost a bunch of spots. So, yeah, definitely 7th better than the 10th, right? Jordan rode all right. I thought Max Volin rode all right. Shock didn't ride very well. He went backwards. I don't know. He wasn't happy, and don't know why or what, but Cody, it's rare for Cody to go backwards like that, but he did. Beaumaire had another miserable race. The wheels have fallen off the Beaumaire bandwagon, but he still had a really great season, obviously. So, kind of limping towards the end a little bit. So, Enzo Lopes, 13th. I didn't notice Enzo much. Thrasher, nope. Didn't notice Thrasher, but
no.
That's he won a few weeks ago, in case you're wondering, and now he got 14th. So
this is all on brand for Thrasher.
Yeah. This is nothing's different with Nate Thrasher here. So, and then Faulkner, 16th. It's not good. It's not good.
No,
he's not riding well. He doesn't look fast. He doesn't. Yeah, it's not been a good run for Faulkner. He did completely clean out who did he clean out on a Honda? Was it Henry Miller? It was a textbook, like, I'm going to just come in underneath you in a bowl turn, in the turn before the whoops, the left-hander, and just cleaned out his front tire and just kept going. Never even slowed down. Like, it was perfect. Perfect takedown by Faulkner. So it was nice to see that way. Like, not nice as far
nice
as,
to see.
Like, just how beautiful it was. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't even slow down. It never even touched him, and boom, the guy goes down. So, perfect pass there. I think it was Henry Miller. Mosman was not good. Mosman, I had him in fantasy. He crashed and crashed again, and not ideal. And then I think Hardy got hurt. Hardy was holding his wrist. JT, did you see that at all down there? Because
I did not. I did see him make $2,000 from the Rocky Mountain thing.
Yes.
From making the main.
Yes.
But I did not see him in the main event at all.
Hardy's LCQ, of course, was legendary. Who was he battling with? Let me pull it up here.
Yeah, that was good.
Luke Neese.
Luke Neese, yeah. He caught Luke from way back. Luke got him back. Then he made a mistake. Then he was going faster than Luke, and you know, but he was making his own mistakes, as Hardy tends to do. And then finally he put it away, and like you said, JT, he got that money. It was classic Hardy Munoz. And how about Gavin Towers winning the LCQ over Vial? How about that?
Yeah. I mean, Vial was in crisis mode, clearly.
Yeah.
But who cares? Like, good for Gavin.
The whoop speed, Weech. Somebody
whoop
out
speed,
there.
Yeah, there's some scouts that say Towers whoop speed.
It's legendary. And and we saw it out there. So how about Vial's heat race crash? God, he got lucky on that one too. Jeez.
Oh, man. I thought he was hurt for sure.
Yeah. I mean, just drove his head into the dirt, right?
Like, yeah, geez. Head and shoulder, and it was.
Yeah. Not ideal. So, all right. Well, Davies was great. That's really the takeaway from 250s. What a race. Who wins the East, Weech?
Oh, boy. I still, if I had to bet on it, I'd still put it on RJ. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but look, he's, in a way, you could say he's as a championship experience as the rest of them. I know Vial's won MXGP titles, but RJ did win a Supercross title last year, so as wild of a ride as it is, I feel like he might be the most reliable guy. I know that's crazy to say about RJ, but damn it, he finds a way.
Yeah.
I will go with I don't like the Vial set up for Salt Lake. So the more points he loses or sacrifices over the next 2 weeks, I don't like his setup there.
What do you mean his setup? What do you
mean? I just don't think Salt Lake is the perfect round for him to maximize points in a showdown.
Got it.
So he needs to have two really good rounds coming up for him to pull this thing off, in my opinion.
Yeah. What's Pittsburgh going to be like? It's dirt wise. Weege?
It'll be good. Like tacky. It just depends on if it rains. Like dirt will be awesome if it doesn't rain. Like Mount Morris, Steel City, like dirt's always awesome.
Did anybody check the, weather for this weekend?
Not bad all week. But as of right now, we're way out, right? Like, it's 50% for Saturday right now, but it's going to be warm. So I don't think we're going to have like a big storm, if that makes sense. We're not going to have like 38 and raining like we've had.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, do we get rain at the wrong time or not? But looks reasonable for now. The high 73, so I'll take that all day.
JT, I'm going back to why you thought the Birmingham race was amazing, simply because it was sunny. Maybe now I see why.
You love Birmingham
because the weather was great.
Yeah, 100%. It was amazing. Like it was. I mean, the last two weekends I have really sacrificed my health. We were suffering down there.
Pretty much like when we looked at the schedule and we saw these three, everyone was like, uh-oh. And it's turned out to be uh-oh. You know, I mean, the track was fine in Philly, but the weather, cold, all of that. You know, we were all hoping for the best case. And we might have three. Yeah. We might have three, like, shitty races, but I guess that's, I mean, it's surprising.
Well, don't forget Seattle was the race before these.
Yeah, yeah.
So you almost know that's 50-50 at best as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, we all knew these three. People were like, I mean, the World Cup is coming into it as part of the stadium rentals and stadium availability and all of that things that Feld guys are telling us. So there's reasons why we're going to three races within 2 hours of each other or whatever. I don't know.
World Cup, huh?
Yeah, something about the World Cup and the stadium availability. So they had to get in this year. So I don't know, something like that.
Oh, because we wouldn't be able to go back.
Yes.
Okay.
We can't go next year.
Oh, okay. So, okay. A couple observations on the couch here.
Okay.
I want to thank the following riders when I'm watching these races with my kid. It's good to have an outside perspective. Hardy and RJ, we already know, but it's good to have confirmation. I mean, they really make your Saturday nights or afternoons so much more fun. I mean, the RJ drama every weekend is just must-see TV. Like, nothing comes easy ever. And then sometimes it even goes well. We really enjoy that in the household. Just something's going to happen. Even the way Were they past RJ in the whoops where he, like, Evel Knievel'd it?
Yeah, he just
wheelied the first four. And then last week, the first turn, going backwards in a rhythm, allegedly. He won't quite admit to that because I don't think he wants to get in trouble. Like, it's just great, man.
Yeah, on social, I posted the photo of him crashing in the first turn last week, and he replied with no comment. He knows what he is.
I put on our we had special Philadelphia Phillies baseball themed gear for him this weekend, and in the caption for the post, I put something like, "If you know anything about RJ, you know he's great at sliding and he loves baseball." something like that.
Yeah.
He's RJ Wild Thing Hampshire.
Yep. Yeah,
can relate.
I invited Hardy to my LCQ race in Denver because he's been really riding well and everything else, and I don't think he believes me. I hope he's not hurt. But he keeps saying, okay, an exclamation point. And I was like, can you make it? Okay.
Did he do like the exclamation point upside down one before it and then normal one after?
No.
I would love those.
No, but I don't know if Hardy – I think Hardy thinks it's spam. I think he thinks I'm a spam texter. Like, I want him to get some gift cards soon. I don't know if he knows what I'm doing. And then I sent him an article from last year, and he never replied. I'm like, read this. Like, it's a Racer X article from On the Race. This is what we're doing. And I never heard anything back. And then he said he will try to get to Denver. And I'm like, no, Hardy, you can't be like try. Like, you got to be in or out. Like, we can't try. And then I never communicate. You know, that was it. And then he hurt himself. I hope he's okay. But we're trying to get Hardy into the LCQ race. So he's been riding well.
Please get him on a 450.
450? He needs more power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Maybe some fives, some quints out there.
By the way, I went and saw Lars, our buddy Lars, this weekend. I know it's pretty shocking. And
shocking.
Yeah. I swear to God, Lars and Mitch, I gotta get some new routines. It's pathetic. But anyways, Lars is like, dude, I really want to thank you for Dean Wilson, man. That never even came to mind. I never even thought about Dean Wilson. I really want to thank you. And I'm like, I said, oh, can we get this on camera? And he's like, no, but just really thank you, man. And I'm like, perfect, thanks. It was great to get some acknowledgement from Factory Honda that he had never thought about Dean Wilson until.
Hey, I mean, is this a real take from you? Because I hope not.
Well, Lars came out of nowhere with it, so I assume it's real.
Got it. Yeah. Cool.
So, actually, Lars, I got to call him out on this. Lars is a liar. I talked to him way back in Detroit and talked about the Sillin Rider, and he said, if we end up with Dean Wilson, I will make sure my quote in the press release says, this was not because of Steve Mathis of Pulp MX.
That's true.
I didn't see that in the press release.
He did say that. Yeah, he did say that.
Yeah. I was gonna quote me on this. This was not Steve Mathis.
Yeah. Can't believe it. All right. Well, that's the review pod for another week. New York, we'll all be there, so JT will be happy going in early. Yeah. Weege, you cannot make our dear friend's restaurant reservation?
I double can't make it now because what's odd is at first I was flying in Friday, so I could not make it to the 6:30 dinner. But then an event popped up on Thursday that I now have to go to, so I actually will be there at that time, but I will not be able to attend dinner.
What event?
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, there's some Malcolm Stewart thing I have to go to and cover, so I got to go to that.
Wow.
He's got something going on at 6 p.m. Thursday that I got to go to.
So you couldn't go when it was us, but now you miraculously can go because it's not us.
Wait. There's a big difference between like a work assignment and going to dinner with my buddies. Is that not obvious?
Not in my mind. Not in my mind.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Let's just fly in on Wednesday. We're just flying into places to go to dinner with our friends. Okay.
I am flying. Cool. I am flying in Wednesday. Your point.
JT, the rules don't apply to you, okay? This is like, just take anything Carmichael did records-wise, wins-wise, and just take them out and then start the discussion.
I'm flying in Wednesday also, but for the Thursday dinner. But I'm going with my wife. We're going to do some stuff.
I'm not going with my wife, but I will be there Thursday.
Did you guys know that Brad West was born in Dingo, Australia? That's what it's listed.
No way.
Dingo. Like, how is there such a place?
Did,
Did he eat anyone's baby?
I don't know, but yes, that's exactly what I thought too. Dingo. I did not know that. Okay, that's it. That's a wrap. New York this weekend, and yeah, we'll all be there. And good times. Thanks you to folks at Fly Racing, Renthal, Maxis, Motorsport.com, Onyx Maps as well for on board the podcast. And yeah, boys, we will see you this Saturday in New York.
Yeehaw. See you guys.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.